Let us pray, and then we'll begin. Father, I pray that you would bless your word today. Lord, your word is living and powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, I pray you would use your word and speak to us. I pray that you would help us not to be hindered, not to be distracted, not to be forgetful in what we hear, not to be proud and fail to apply it to our own hearts. Lord, I know that everyone needs this word, and I need this word. I know that you desire the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And Lord Jesus, we know that you died upon the cross, not only to forgive our sins, but to purify us and to make us holy, to work righteousness in us, that we would die with you to sin and that we would rise again with you in newness of life. Please help us today. Give ears to hear. Give me words to speak. Oh, Father, if it's just me preaching, there won't be any eternal benefit. So I pray by your Spirit, help me, Lord, and speak through me and bless my brothers and sisters. For your own name's sake, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to read from Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And again, the subject is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says this: but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Amen. We've talked about love and joy and peace. Many of these characteristics, they go together. You can't separate them strictly from each other. They, love and joy go together. Patience and love go together. Faithfulness and goodness go together. But I think it is right that we give time to look at them one at a time. If possible, to glean as much as we can to teach us how to be godly, what we should want, what we should desire, what we should expect to come from our lives and our church. So today, the subject is gentleness. Gentleness. I was reading this last week in Psalm 101, verse 2. And I thought about this series of preaching on the fruit of the Spirit. Psalm 101:2 says, I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. So David says he's going to ponder something. Ponder means he's going to meditate. He's going to think a long time about what? The way that is blameless. The way that is holy. The way that is godly. What is the highway of holiness? What is the godly lifestyle? I think when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, we see it. There's many places in the Bible that show us good things. Like Philippians 4, set your mind on the things that are good and excellent. So today, we are doing just that. We are pondering the blameless way. And I think it's perfect because it says blameless. And Galatians 5 says, against such things there is no law. This is the perfect way. This is the blameless way. If we walk truly in love and joy and peace, and in gentleness, then we won't ever sin. We'll never break the law. Nothing would condemn us if we live this way. And so this is what every true Christian wants desperately in their heart, in their life, is to be more like Christ. And that is probably the more mature we become in the Lord, probably that will become more and more a part of our prayer life than it ever has before, that God would put these things in us. Not just praying about things on the outside, but praying about these qualities of gentleness and love. So we need this. Now today, I'm going to focus on gentleness, and I came up with 5 different aspects of gentleness. I'm sure there's more. I'm sure if we studied it longer, we could find more aspects, more subjects about gentleness. But first, I want to start with a question. And this question will lead into the first aspect, the first point. My question is this. Is gentleness only for women? Is gentleness something that's special that women have, but that men don't have, or that men don't need? Before you answer, look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. How about verse 3? 1 Peter 3:3. Do not let your adorning be external. The braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning, which means how you dress yourself, how you make yourself look, let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. So let's stop. This verse says, women, don't be concerned so much with your clothes and your hair and jewelry. Be concerned with your heart, with your character. It's more beautiful to have a godly lifestyle than it is to put on the outward things And it says women should have a gentle and quiet spirit. And I chose this verse because I think this is how a lot of times the natural person will think. Women should be gentle and quiet. And men, they can be strong and loud. Women should be gentle and soft, and men should be strong and tough and bold. Women should kind of help and support, encourage and heal, and men can fight battles and be mighty and powerful and aggressive. And I think naturally, men are more aggressive and women are more passive. It doesn't mean that women have no aggression or that men have no quiet side to their life, but I think naturally it is true. And I think here he's saying it's good if a woman is gentle and quiet, but I want to answer this question. Is it only for women? No. Gentleness is godly. God is gentle. Christ was gentle, and he wants every man and every woman to be gentle. Gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is not just being quiet. There is a gentleness that is very holy and very wonderful, and I think this is one of those despised things in the eyes of the world. Love, joy, peace are despised. Faithfulness is despised. Gentleness is definitely despised. The world thinks if you're gentle, you're weak. If you're gentle, you'll never be anything good. The world wants to push. The world wants to fight. The world wants to quarrel and use force. The world does not understand gentleness. My first point, and the first aspect, is this is for all people. It is true that women are to be gentle, but men are to be gentle as well. Think of it like this. Psalm 18 says, God's gentleness made David great. God was gentle, and because he was gentle toward David, David was preserved. He was strengthened. He was helped. If God would have been rough with David, David would have went to hell. If God would have wanted to quarrel with David, he could have destroyed David for his sins. But he was very gentle with David. And we're thankful for that. God is gentle. And so if we become more gentle, we become more like God. This is what we were made to do. 2 Corinthians 10 says, Christ was gentle. Paul said, I urge you by the meekness, the humility, and the gentleness of Christ. Jesus himself said that he was gentle and lowly of heart. You remember that? Come to me, all who are weary, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. Jesus was a gentle man. Was he a weak man? No way. Was he a silly man, a foolish man? He was the most powerful, the most godly, the most righteous man, but he was very gentle. We need this. It's for all. That's my first point, the first aspect for men and women. And I think especially this sermon needs to be heard by men, because I think for myself and for the other young men and old men that I know, gentleness is a real weakness. Men more than women try to assert themselves and fight and push. And we need this reminder that to be like Christ is to be gentle. My second point, the second aspect, these next four are situations in which gentleness is very important. Gentleness is important in opposition. I'm starting with this. Opposition means when someone is against you. They don't like you, or they don't agree with you, or they're trying to do something that you don't want them to do. Maybe they're your enemy. Maybe they're not your enemy. Maybe they're your friend or your family, but they, in this situation, they're going against you, against your ideas, against your words, against your desires. Opposition will come. There will be a time, definitely, if not every day, almost every day, when someone will turn against you or will be working in the opposite direction of what you think, what you desire. And in those times, gentleness is very important. So let's look at a passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy 2, verse 25. This is a verse about dealing with unbelievers. Look at verse 24. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. Quarrelsome means fighting, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Let's suppose Timothy is in a church, and Paul sends him there to help this church, and then some man comes, he's not even a believer, he's not even saved, but he comes to the meetings, and he starts contradicting what Timothy is preaching. And he starts arguing or quarreling with other church members. Maybe he's a Jewish man, and he's saying, you all don't believe in circumcision. If the Gentiles want to be saved, they have to be circumcised. What should Timothy do? Should he quarrel with him and argue and shout in the church? Try to prove this man wrong in front of everyone? Raise his voice? That is not what the servant of the Lord should do. The church does not need quarreling, even with unbelievers. Here it says, be kind to everyone that comes in your church and gently correct them. Yes, you must explain they are wrong, but don't hit them with a hammer in front of everyone to try to put them down. Be gentle with them. Why? In opposition, gentleness is more effective than being aggressive and using force. And the Lord knows this. It's better, it's more effective, it works better, and it is godly because it shows your love for them. The scripture talks about the gentleness of wisdom in the book of James. If someone wants to quarrel with an unbeliever, they're probably not going to win them to Christ. If you want to shout and raise your voice, if you get angry and talking with an unbeliever about the Bible or about the gospel, you're probably not going to win them to Christ, because this verse says the bondservant, the servant of the Lord's slave, the minister, needs to be gentle when he corrects them. How much fruitless evangelism goes on when a new believer or even a foolish believer goes out and starts arguing with people about the gospel in a very angry way, in a rough way, and they're rude to them. And they no longer, they're looking at them, maybe you go to the park to share the gospel, or you're in the street, or someone comes to your home. No longer are you looking at them as if you want them to be saved, and as if you love them and you desire their good, but now all you see is their problem, their false gospel, their false teaching, and you want to correct them and put them in their place. Fruitless evangelism. One time, I met a man in Texas. He was a new believer, and he was telling me that he wanted to go to his... He was a, He had some co-workers in his workplace. He was trying to share the gospel with all of them. He was new, very energetic, very zealous. And I asked him, well, how's it going? And he began to tell me, this person has this problem. This person has this problem. This person doesn't understand this. And he began to explain how he had all these verses lined up and ready. I'm going to tell him this verse, and I'm going to tell him this verse, and I'm going to tell him this verse. And I realized, this man does not love these people. He's so focused on correcting them, on having all these verses like arrows to shoot at them, he's lost gentleness. Sometimes the Lord doesn't want us to come on strong. He wants us to be slow and patient and gentle when we share the gospel. That's not to say that we don't talk to people, but it means, how is your tone of voice when you talk to them? Are you really loud? Are you speaking softly and kindly? Sometimes a whisper is more effective than shouting. I know one lady in my home church in America. Her older sister was saved first, and she was still lost, but she knew that her older sister was saved. She knew it was true because her older sister stopped arguing with her father, who was lost. After she got saved, she didn't quarrel with her father anymore. And the younger sister, who was lost, took notice of that. Something is different. She became gentle. Her father was opposed, but she didn't argue with him anymore. That's what lost people love to do. They love to quarrel and argue. Oh, how we need gentleness. The gentleness of wisdom. If someone thinks he's wise, but he just likes to debate and is very fiery in his speech, he doesn't have the true wisdom. True wisdom is reasonable, gentle, able to be entreated. Not only bad evangelism, how many fruitless doctrinal arguments go on in the church because of a lack of gentleness? Now, some of us know what it means, the term Calvinism. There are many Christians in the world, and some of them are Calvinists, and some of them are not. Calvinism means we believe that God is in control of salvation, and He chooses who He wants to save. A lot of people don't believe that. They think man chooses. And so, there are all kinds of fruitless quarreling about doctrine that doesn't benefit anyone. Why? Because it's not done in love and gentleness. And when I was a new Christian, I saw this all the time. I would argue with people about Calvinism, and I would get heated. We'd have these heated discussions in the dorm room, and it didn't help anybody because it wasn't done in gentleness. Some of you know Conrad Murrell. He won people to the side of Calvinism with gentleness. Mark LaCour, you guys don't know him, he's a preacher in the U.S., he went to their camp and he was going to argue with Conrad about Calvinism and really show him what he thought. And Conrad didn't argue back. And Mark LaCour was won to the side of truth. They were both believers, but he was convinced because Conrad was gentle. Conrad knew the truth and he didn't have to argue about it. And his gentleness convicted Mark LaCour. And finally, he realized it was true. Charles and Bob, our beloved pastors back in America, they won Don Curran to see the truth of Calvinism with gentleness. Don personally testified in front of many people. It was their gentle Calvinism that convinced him. He hadn't seen that before. The only Calvinism he saw before that was the angry kind, the proud kind. When he saw the gentle kind, he was convinced it's true. And we need gentleness when there's opposition. When believers disagree or unbelievers disagree, the best way to help them, the best way to come to unity is to be gentle. And India needs more holy Christians that will live in a gentle way. Not like the radical, fundamental Hindus and Muslims or terrorist people that use force and power. They need to see the gentleness of Christ. Love, lived out, not fighting back, but praying, trusting the Lord, being patient. Gentleness does not mean weakness. Strong people can be very gentle. Have you ever seen, sometimes you meet someone that we call, in English, we call them a gentle giant. It means they're really big and they're really strong. They have huge muscles, but they don't fight with anyone. And they play with little children. We call them a gentle giant. You can be gentle and strong at the same time. Gentleness means you don't use your power to crush someone. You try to be very soft with them. You have power. You could crush them if you want. Just like God could crush us. Just like Christ could call down legions of angels to destroy all of his enemies. But he doesn't use his power. Oh, that the Lord would help us in times of opposition not to use our force and our power, but to be gentle. All right, third aspect. Gentleness is important in the realm of leadership. Look at Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, verse 5. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem on a donkey. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you on a war horse, powerful with weapons and might. No. Your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey. And on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Jesus Christ was very gentle. He was the king, but he was the king on a donkey. I think this verse is a picture. If you want to remember the gentleness of Christ, remember the king rode a donkey. Jesus Christ was mounted on a donkey. Not on a horse, not in a chariot with weapons. He came with peace. He came humbly. He was the gentle king. And I think every good leader needs to be gentle. Now, don't stumble over the word leader. You may think, well, the preachers are the leaders, the missionaries are the leaders. There are many aspects of leadership. Husbands are leaders in their homes. If any of you are working with children, you're leaders over children. Parents are leaders toward their children. And if the Lord puts anyone in your life who is new to the faith and you are older in the faith, you will be, in a sense, in a position of leadership. If you're older than them, if you're more mature than them, God can use you to help be an example in their life, like a leader. Leadership requires gentleness. Jesus was gentle, and he was the leader of us all. He is the great leader of the church in heaven. He is the ruler of men and angels, but he's very gentle. Moses was the leader of Israel, but do you remember what it said about Moses? He was the meekest man, the most humble man on the face of the earth. Moses was not a quarreler. Moses was gentle. God would do the fighting, and Moses would sit back and wait and watch and pray. A good leader will be gentle. Now, I know that the world does not do this. The world's leaders, the world's prime ministers, the world's kings are usually men of power that are aggressive. And we know that because Jesus said, the rulers of this world lord it over you. They like to be the boss. They like to give commands. They like to say, go do this. They like to use their power. But Jesus said, it is not that way with you. He taught the 12 apostles not to lead like the world. He said, the greatest among you will be your servant. The one that gets down, the one that's very gentle, the one that is helping others, that's the godly leader. That's the one like Christ. He was training them to be gentle. He was training Peter to be a gentle leader in the way that he restored him from sin. And he said, when you turn again, strengthen your brothers. The reason why Peter, the reason why Paul would be gentle with these new converts is because the Lord had been gentle with them. The temptation for leaders is to have ambition and goals and desires and to push for it. You want to do something, you want to make progress, you want to have success and development, and so you push by the flesh instead of love and prayer and the word. The flesh, using the flesh, using fear, using guilt, using hard language and rebuke, that's not going to help people make progress in the kingdom of God. You can make a man work on the job if you whip him with a whip, but you can't make someone love Christ by whipping them with a whip. You can take a slave and you can kick him and get him to move, but you can't take a Christian and kick them and expect them to go higher in the Christian life. You'll just hurt them. You'll just knock them down. The way to be a godly leader is with gentleness. And all the time, Christian leaders are in danger of falling into being too harsh, too aggressive, too demanding, too serious, too strong and strict, all for the sake of their ambition and their desire to see progress. Think of it this way. If you're preaching or you're teaching, maybe you're teaching a Bible study, maybe you're teaching children, maybe you're preaching in the church, you may need to hold back some of the things that you say. If you want to really bless your congregation,